welcome back to this week's episode of Working for the Rich and Famous. Hope you're all doing well. Week two, I think, of lockdown. Today we are, well, this episode is actually episode 21, which is mad even in itself. 21 episodes. So, 20 weeks we've been doing this. I think it's kind of sort of got me going throughout the year, which is nice. But I want to change up a little bit moving forward with the podcast, because what we've done up till now typically is spoken to lots of people who've had really successful careers, just to get a bit of an insight as to how their journey panned out for them and what others could potentially do to have similar journeys, which has been great. But I feel like at the minute, especially in our market, the private sector, we're being so heavily affected by, you know, COVID and lockdown, and it's not all roses for a lot of people. And what I'm gonna do moving forward is talk to different types of people who have potentially been affected by COVID and what they've done, or people that are, you know, having to adjust how they're working. And so I'm hoping that some of the stuff that we put out from the podcast moving forward will be obviously still really entertaining, but be really useful and hopefully provide some takeaways for you guys listening to potentially help you as well join the sector. So try and sort of like mix it up as to who we talk to and what we talk about. So with that in mind, we have someone slightly different today. We've got Abigail on the show today, and Abigail is a VA, a virtual assistant, having had a solid career working as a PA. And so I'm really keen to get her take on why she moved from the career she had into what she does now. And obviously she's still providing a service to ultra high net worth. So we're all doing the same thing here, just in different forms. And because she's sort of, you know, self-employed and she needs to go out and find her business, I think the way she has to present herself and put herself out in the market, I think is very similar to how candidates who are currently looking for work should be putting themselves out as well. And I think sitting there waiting for a job to come to you isn't going to be enough anymore. And I think you should be, as an unemployed person, doing various things and taking various steps to make yourself visible in the market and as employable as possible. And I think some of the things that Abigail has to do within her business, I think, are really relevant and could be used to people out there looking for work. So to crack straight on with this, Abigail, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, Philippa. Yes, really well, thank you.
Good. We may as well just explain what we were just talking about. We were just talking about a very typical problem with lockdown that I think a lot of people are experiencing, working from home with school children who can't go to school because they are in isolation, and it's hell. Talk us through.
Yes, it's a very real hell. My year six and my year one are both at home this week and next week because their year groups have been closed down. They're fine, but in both years they've had a confirmed COVID case, and as I've said, the whole year group has been sent home for 2 weeks. So it's now trying to scramble around and find extra electrical devices to get them on, because the homeschooling that's being provided is great, but you know, who has five or six devices that are free, and then you find out their logons aren't working and all that wonderful jazz that goes with it. And my husband's working from home as well as obviously me. So yeah, it's fun and games at the moment.
Oh God. Yeah, because I think a lot of people this lockdown are saying, well, at least the kids are back at school. But really not everybody's at school all the time, because, you know, it's going round, obviously, it's spreading, and you know, all it takes is, you know, a case and it's the entire year. And I'm pretty sure this won't be the first time they'll have to quarantine. And yeah, it just affects you trying to work. You know, we're struggling as it is in our market to work and find work, and then to have the added stress. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, if I had kids here needing laptops, I haven't got spare laptops. Good point. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I often work from my phone anyway, but we've got an iPad and a spare laptop, which is quite old. So it isn't the fastest of laptops, but it's enough for my daughter to do what she needs to do. And the iPad isn't recognizing my son's Teams logon, but he's five, so I'm not overly fussed about him. But it's just feels wrong that he's actually watching TV now, because all of his friends are on most of his friends are probably on Teams. But do you know what, I've got to let it go. There's nothing I can do. I've modelled my business to work around the kids, because they should be at school and they're not. So do you know what? I'll be available from about 3:30, and I'll do some bits with him then, which is what I've always done anyway, and I'll just carry on. So yeah, you have to reach a point and let it go.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think for us to get through these sort of lockdowns and all the rest, it's finding a new way of managing your day to get stuff done. And even if it's, you know, I've got a kid at home, and some mornings I've honestly been at my desk at 5 and I've worked 5 till 7. So then I can be with him 7 till whatever. And so you just have to sort of like fit stuff in and around and not feel bad if you can't sit at your desk for 3 hours in the middle of the day and just find the time to do it. So it's just adjusting, isn't it? And I think everybody sort of listening is probably having to do similar things and go to work or not go to work and get their family sorted around that. And yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and it's about really recognizing that. And there's absolutely nothing wrong in talking to my clients about struggling with my family. You know, I was on a client call a couple of days ago and I said at the beginning of the call, I've got both my children at home. If one of them walks in, I've, you know, explained, all my clients all know I've got children. They all know I've got 3 children. And that was one of the really important parts about me setting up my business, because my husband works shift work. I really loved what I did. I took the main elements of the jobs that I've had, and then I put that into the business, which I now operate. So I'm very upfront. And if people don't accept that, then they're not the people that should be working with you. Walk away. And I've really, really recognized that. And I'm quite confident in that now. I mean, that does come with time, because it feels wrong. You know, when I think when you set up on your own, you want to work with anyone and everyone because you just want to earn money. But it's actually more about the people that you work with, because if you get on with them and you align with them, then it's going to be a long-term relationship. The people that just want to work with you just to earn some money quickly, they won't work with you for very long.
And you won't enjoy the work that you're doing.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I've had proof of that. I've had people come on board that are really quite shallow, and they've been on board for a couple of months. I've procrastinated their work because we've not really clicked. And I've had to sort of say, look, this isn't working, we've parted ways. Yeah, so I now am really, really quite picky. And I really niche down to who I work with, and it works brilliantly, because now I don't worry about, you know, being upfront about my kids being at home or anything like that, because they trust me as an adult to still get things done, and I do.
You know what, this is so similar to what I always tell people when they go for an interview. Like, you are, and clients don't realize this, which does my head in, the candidate is interviewing the client as much as the client is interviewing the candidate. And absolutely. so many of my clients sit there saying, and they treat this interview process with no respect at all, and they'll keep people waiting and they'll rush an interview for you. If they don't like someone in the first minute, their interview will be 5 minutes long, even if the candidate's driven 6 hours to get there. And appalling. And actually, you know, I don't like this when it happens to the agency. This is the worst thing to happen, is when a client loves the candidate that makes an offer and the candidate turns it down. From an agent's point of view, that's awful, because you're at the very end. But good for the candidate, because clients do need to realize that a candidate is sat there assessing you as an employer and assessing you as a workplace as much as the other way around. And you need to really think about how you are presenting this opportunity to them. And you can't, you shouldn't just assume that everybody wants to work with you. Because if you think like that, reality is not many people actually want to work with you. If you're like,
absolutely.
If you're that kind of person. And what I love it when the interviewer, the client, is nervous for an interview because they really want to make a good impression on the candidate. Brilliant. That's what it should be like. And it often never is. And the client needs to learn that the candidate holds a lot more power than they think, you know. And if the client really, really, really likes that candidate, you need to work to attract them and then retain them. So yeah, absolutely. Good for you. Because ultimately, if you pick the wrong job and you work for an employee that isn't the right fit, it will never work long term anyway. So
exactly, yeah. And then you've got all these extra clients on your, you know, your CV or whatever, and it really dents your confidence. But switching it round and learning to be comfortable with the feeling that not everyone's going to like you is quite an odd concept, really, because I think everyone wants to be liked, but I'm completely okay with it now, because, you know, I'm not friends with everyone, and it works in exactly the same way. I'm friends with particular people for a particular reason. It works in exactly the same way. But that, you know, it comes with time. But I definitely hope that's a takeaway for anyone listening, is just you hear the word authenticity so much at the moment, but it is absolutely true. Just be yourself. And it doesn't matter if other people don't like it, because they're not for you anyway.
One of my favorite things to do is fire a client. honestly. And it's Silver Swan, like you used to say, it comes with confidence. I would work with anyone and everyone, regardless of how they treat our candidates, regardless how they treated us, regardless how they treat the recruitment process. And ultimately, it tars your reputation as a recruiter because it's embarrassing the way candidates can be treated and it makes us look bad. Anyway, now, yeah, one of my, it's not a frequently said phrase at all, but my go-to phrase is, I just don't think we're the right agent for you. I don't think you're going to get what you need from an agent like us. And there'll be lots of other agencies that give you what you want, which is basically a shoddy service because you're difficult to work for and you're rude. And I don't want to put my staff in that position either. Like, I want my consultants to come to work and really enjoy their work. And I don't want them sat there being screamed at or whatever by a client for whatever reason. So yeah, to have confidence in the position that you're in and understand that you have more power than you think within your choices, you know.
Yeah.
So right, so we've not even really gone to the beginning yet, so tell us a bit about you. So like, what is a VA and how did you get into it?
Okay, so I've been a PA, VA, EA, whichever abbreviation you want to use, for about 20 years now. So I started off as a legal secretary locally to where I am in Kent for about 5 years. Then I went up to London. I worked with a large international law firm for at least 10 years. Loved what I did for the first 6 or 7 years and had my children whilst I was there. And then it was after my third child, so nearly 6 years ago, that something just changed, as there is always a bit of a trigger when people start their own businesses. Mine was having my third child. Within hours of having him, I knew that I was only going to go back for 6 months to get my maternity bonus because the role had changed so much. They'd taken away, I mean, this was across the board. This wasn't just with me and a few others. This was across the board within PAs. We'd become legal PAs, but there was nothing legal about our role at all. We'd become glorified admin assistants, really. There was no client involvement anymore. We didn't really liaise with the lawyers as much as we used to. And that was the part that I absolutely loved. Mm. And as soon as those bits were taken away and lawyers were made more self-sufficient because they could bring in more funds to the business, so I understood it from that point, I was just losing motivation day by day. It was so fast. And I wasn't depressed, but I was definitely on the road to a bit of a darker place. Mm. I was only ever part-time there 2 or 3 days a week. So I would dread going in, I'd procrastinate. And it was just, I knew something had to be done. But whilst I was still working there, I didn't really know what options I had. Because I think if you're in the PA world, you instantly think that you could only really be a PA, but somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I did lots of other research. I'd always wanted to work with kind of higher net worths and in the private sector. I'd rang a couple of agencies. I mean, this was good 15 years ago. And I was told point blankly, I'd never get in the private world with corporate experience. I didn't even have enough corporate experience, they said. Mm. So just carry on the road that I'm on, basically. Well, that really lit a fire in me because I don't like to be told no. Mm. But it lit a fire subconsciously because I didn't really know how to change it. So after a bit of research, I found the concept of a VA, virtual assistant, and then I just started to kind of evolve it, really. So subconsciously, I was gathering together a bit of a mental list of the jobs that I'd had and the roles within them that I liked. So like I said, the actual client involvement, the one-to-one stuff with the lawyer, and I remember collating a list just on a very small post-it note about the things that I liked. And after a chat with my husband, I just said, well, if I could do those bits of a job, I'd love it. And I said, if I could pick my own clients, I said, I'd be absolutely on fire. Mm-hmm. And that's where it was born, really. So I resigned within 6 months. So I got my maternity bonus when I went back to London.
Yeah.
Got my maternity bonus, resigned, built a website, which was absolutely shocking.
We've all been there. Using my first website. It's embarrassing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, thankfully it's not up anymore. So, yes, built my own website. But again, you know, you need to go through that transition. You need to have a rubbish website because, you know, if it was all perfect first time round, it just wouldn't work. You need to learn along the way. So, and I left. My husband wasn't overwhelmed. Well, I wasn't overjoyed, really. But I left. And I started networking, literally blind. I'd never networked before. I'd only really ever sat in the office and just mixed with the few people that I was with. But something in me was just a different driver. And I used to network with a wonderful legal network up in the city, at the Royal Courts of Justice and in the pubs that kind of surround the Strand, and started making some contacts, and it just went from there. So for the first couple of years, I worked with QCs, sole practitioner solicitors, and people of a self-employed nature, but within the legal industry. And that's when I started just working and assumed that I needed to work for anyone and everyone, because it was a business, I needed to earn money, and my focus was on earning money, as it kind of is when you start work, which isn't really my focus anymore, but we'll come to that. So anyway, just to kind of round up, so after a year or so, I found out that I didn't actually like working in the legal industry because I was procrastinating their work. I wasn't really gelling with the kind of characters they were, so that comes on to the point that we made earlier about choosing who you work with. But it was a massive learning curve, so I knew that I wanted it to succeed, but I wasn't quite sure what I needed to change in order to keep going forward. But I knew 100% that resigning was absolutely the right decision for me, and I never wanted to be employed again, so I was hell-bent on it working. So I just started looking up some self-development, you know, running a business, and I've always been present on LinkedIn. I find LinkedIn to be amazing. Things don't happen overnight, things take time, but it's just about, I mean, this is a bit of a cliche, it's about building those relationships and just engaging with people, just talking to people, and stop worrying about, if you can, making money, and just meet people, because the people that I've met in my first 3 years have all come to fruition in the last 18 months. All those people now that I met, now I've been running for about 5 years, I've obviously rebranded. It's all coming out in the wash, as they say. And it's the last 18 months to a year, there's been a massive transformation in my business. So it's consistency and keep going are absolutely paramount in any situation, because it's the consistency and the keep going that has got me to this point, and it's got me to rebrand, that the consistency has got me to be confident to pick who I work with, and it's got me to pick up the clients that I've got now.
You know what, like, so many things that I want to talk about in there. Yeah, trying to get the work that makes you money now is very short-sighted, isn't it? You'll make a quick buck now and you'll never work with them again, rather than taking the the slow burner approach, which is just proving your credibility, being constantly visible and vocal within your market. People will start to notice you regularly, buy into you, engage with you, trust you, which will then lead to a really healthy relationship. And lots of business. Also, yeah. Isn't it weird that over 2020, during a lockdown, most of it's been lockdown, we've gone from being very isolated individuals, sat behind desks, tapping, barely picking up the phone, to being really out there. Like, I've seen a massive change in LinkedIn over the course of 2020. I don't know about you, in terms of the amount of activity on it, and the amount of people using it and engaging with it, and podcasts coming out left, right, center, and actually we've become more connected by this disconnect.
Yes, it's very ironic, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. And everyone's really, really honoring and almost worshiping the human connection, even though we don't have as much human connection as what we did do before the lockdown. So yes, it's quite an ironic but very much needed thing that's happened during both lockdowns. You can't beat the human connection. As much as there is some wonderful technology, as humans, we do need that human connection. But it is about making more human connections. And LinkedIn's a wonderful way to do that in the professional world.
Yeah. And it's just making the effort. I think a lot of people think they can't be bothered to talk to strangers. And it's like, well, you're an idiot, because that's how we thrive as humans, and that's how we grow and get better. Like, if I just sit here as a business owner, or you, on my own, not talking to anybody else, I will only do what I'm doing. I will never grow as a person, or I will never get better at my job. We need the influences of other people to learn and all the rest. And I think people who are unemployed at home, who are sat there, need to really approach their job hunting as if they were starting their own business, trying to find clients. It's lazy to sit there and wait for a recruiter to send you a job. And it's also lazy to sit there and wait for job descriptions to appear, because in the meantime, you could be building relationships with people who could come to you with jobs and think of you before a job is even created. If I met somebody, I could easily be like, I want you to work for me. I don't know in what capacity, I don't know how or where or when, but I'm going to find a way of working with you. Now, that would never happen if that person just sat there and waited for me to advertise a position or whatever. And even if they did wait, I would have no reason to consider them when they apply.
Yeah.
So stop being lazy and put yourself out there, especially in our sector. Our sector, where it's a lovely sector to be in, and we're all super passionate about what we do. And I've noticed on LinkedIn, I've only really adopted this approach over the course of 2020, and I've gone from never using LinkedIn to being fairly addicted to LinkedIn. I don't really look at Facebook or Instagram anymore. I just use
it. Same.
And I'm having really grown-up conversations with really grown-up people about things that I'm really passionate about, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I mean, like most social media platforms, there's things on there that don't really resonate with you. Mm. But over time, like Facebook and other feeds, they will become accustomed to what you like, and then the people that you engage with will come up on your feed more, etc. So it's, if you are at home, especially if you're a private PA, because that's effectively what I do, but remotely, just start talking to people online. I mean, I've got to know quite a few private PAs via LinkedIn. I mean, back when I rebranded, not January gone, the one before, I think, I'm usually losing track of years, I did a video series over the course of 5 working days, a day in the life of a private PA. Now, to do video for anyone is a bit of a milestone and a brick wall, because it just feels weird. You're effectively talking to no one. But I really, really, as I said earlier, I've always wanted my business to work. Being employed is an option for me. It's not something I want. So I just did the video. And I just spoke every single day about, I think it was just one or two different things that I've done over the course of running my business. The messages I received from private PAs was just, I mean, I didn't actually do it to do that. I did it to kind of start a bit of a, visibility awareness for myself, and for me to get over the fact that I can do video and no one's going to die. So I had loads of different messages from private PAs all saying, how did you get started? I wish I could do this. Can you help me? And I did help quite a few different private PAs with their CVs, or perhaps help them niche down, or with very, very small elements, or perhaps they weren't quite sure in what direction to go. And it was just like, well, what do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing? Because if you enjoy doing that, focus on that. And then, I'm not going to earn any money. Yes, you will if you focus on it. If you tell people that's what you do, you will earn money. I've told people that my main elements of my business is lifestyle support. I mean, I love doing baby hampers. I just love it. I've got 3 children of my own. And it's one of the main things that I've done 3 this week. I absolutely love it. And guess what? I get to do loads of baby hampers because I tell people that's what I do. I've got a small team of 2. That pick up other bits that I don't particularly like. Ironically, social media I don't like doing at all, in terms of management, so I get someone else to do that. But you can tell people what you like doing and still own a business. It feels very wrong, but if you've got some skills that other people haven't got, which I'm almost guarantee that's the case, then you should be getting on LinkedIn, do video, because it puts you into a very small minority who won't do it. And even if you're looking for an employed role, so just looking obviously for one employer in a private household, if you're a private PA that's doing a video saying this is my background and talking about the kind of tasks that you've had, oh my word, honestly, I've had 2 clients come to me this year that have never engaged with me, and they've come to me organically because my content has resonated with them. So I promise you, people are always watching. It's the lurkers that will come back and say, I've been watching you, I'd love to talk to you. And so, if you're a private PA at home, get yourself on LinkedIn in a more of a visible fashion.
Definitely. And I think because people need to get to know you and will like you and trust you. And if and how can people get to know you if they don't see you, they don't know what you look like, they don't know what you sound like, all the rest. I'm a big believer in our agency, and we've definitely been adopting video too when we're presenting candidates to clients, a company, a video with it for the candidate to introduce themselves or us to introduce them.
Wow.
It's so much easier. It's so much easier to sell anything when you're talking. Like, yeah. I swear to God, I could sell, what's the phrase, ice to an igloo. People hate how well I can sell. I can pretty much get any of my friends and family to do what I want to do if I've got a different idea. But, I couldn't do that on a piece of paper. If I texted somebody saying, do you want to go for lunch today? They could just say, if I ring and say, I found the most amazing place to go for lunch, you're coming.
Absolutely.
There's a difference. Yeah. And when you are putting your, when you're looking for work and putting yourself out there, you are ultimately selling yourself. And you, there's only so much selling you can do with words. And also, how boring, the amount of CVs I've said that I'm a bubbly, personable, experienced, like, doesn't mean jack. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And what does
yeah.
it even mean? I completely agree with you. I think you go on LinkedIn, you record a video to explain who you are, you post it and you mark it as featured. You have a featured post on your page so people can revert to it and look at it and engage all the time. Do, and it is consistency as well. So even if it's not every day, what it's better to do one a week every week than five 1 week, nothing for 2 weeks. Post, talk about stuff that you're interested in, talk about stuff that you like, engage with other people, video, like you say, and people will start to notice you. There are definitely, when I'm on LinkedIn, there are definitely a number of candidates that I engage with regularly on LinkedIn because I like what they do. They like what I do. We talk to each other all the time. They've been in podcasts. And I, for one, when I have a role for them, they will be who I think of first because I know who they am. I know who they are.
Yep. And when you post on LinkedIn, whether it's in text or video, don't expect loads of comments straight away because it's not about that. It's more about the mindset of you putting yourself out there. And again, if you do it consistently once a week, every other day, whatever it might be, just keep doing it because eventually it takes about 10 times or something like that to create a new habit. And it's very similar with social media. For people to start commenting, etc., they need to see you consistently. And like you say, know, like, and trust you. And you'll get there, but you've got to give yourself time. Don't expect loads of likes and comments and all this kind of stuff because I hardly get any comments or likes, but my business is doing very well. And I don't always comment or do content just because of business. I've got other people that I've met through LinkedIn and I'm actually friends with two of them. I've never met them, but I've been up to London, obviously, in the break over summer. And it's like I've known them forever, but I've met them through LinkedIn.
I don't think I've even told you this, actually, because this ties in perfectly as to how I even know you.
Because go on, share. That's a good point, yeah.
Well, it's literally LinkedIn. So I obviously host this podcast every week. And being the MD of an agency, I don't actually do any day-to-day recruitment in the agency anymore. I do, which is a shame, which is what I love to do. I do everything else that's involved in running a business. And so because I have a team of consultants, they're the ones that talk to candidates every day. So I'm forever saying to them, honestly, let me know if there's any good candidates you're speaking to. Anyone?
I know what you're going to say now.
And all the rest. And and I said, Laura, one of my consultants, Laura Reeves, she said, I don't know if you've come across Abigail on LinkedIn, but because she's been putting some really good content out there, you should reach out to her. And so it's purely because your content on LinkedIn that got noticed by my consultant and that's now got me on you on the podcast. And it's been a really useful podcast for other people. I'm also now thinking about, I've got friends having babies soon and baby hampers is a really good idea. And I might come to the baby hamper.
Wonderful, and that is exactly what it's about. Yes, I know, Laura Reeves. We have liaised quite a few times, actually. And it's, people think, wow, getting a baby hamper done, because a lot of people like shopping, but...
No, that's a great idea.
So many people are thriving at the moment. You know, a lot of people's businesses haven't been affected by COVID.
Yeah.
Some people's businesses have actually been boosted by COVID. So I do feel there's a bit of a divide there. So... Again, for people that are out of work thinking, oh, you know, there's not many jobs around or there's a lot of candidates. Yes, that's true. But there are lots and lots of people's businesses that are thriving where if you pivoted slightly and got out there, I'm sure you would fit in easily. But with the baby hampers, it's although they can be quite time consuming, I do that kind of thing because it's about the people that I do it for, although they could do it themselves. How much extra stuff are they going to do in their day? If they started doing them themselves, well, they could do something else. And then there goes 2 or 3 hours of the day. So it's just about, my strap line for my business, as you probably know, is live life seamlessly. So it's about them leaving them alone so they can focus on their magic, if you like, and then taking away all those bits and pieces, baby hampers and the diary management and whatever else, so that they can focus on that one thing. Because at 10 minutes turns into half an hour turns into, you know, an hour, etc. And I've had some great feedback on the baby hampers.
Also, it's what you're good at. Like, I've had a baby. Yeah. If I think about making a baby hamper, I'm not going to probably think of the things that you've thought of to put in a baby hamper. And imagine if I've not had a baby, how the hell do you even know what to put in a baby hamper?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, 2 of the baby hampers I've done this week were for people that haven't had babies before. Yeah. So typically when people think of a baby hamper, they think of cuddly toys and really, really baby stuff that will probably be only used, as I'm sure you'd agree, for about 2 months max. And they can cost a lot of money, and if you're only going to use things for 2 months, then so what I do, just as a summary, they all get their first toothbrush. Love buying first toothbrushes. So I do it for up to a year. So again, if a baby's born in November, you need to work out the years. If you're buying a dress for 6 months, where is 6 months? Well, that'll be May, so it's not going to be winter in May. So don't buy a winter dress for 6 months because they're never going to wear it. So it's little things like that. So first toothbrush, I'll always get them like a personalised towel with their name on, dressing gown, something like that. I'll get a book, like a personalised book, like Wonderbly, something like that. So I'll do it for their first year, really. Always get their first swimsuit, and they'll never buy a swimsuit for anything under 0 to 3 months because obviously they have their jabs. So yeah, I really tailor it. I find out exactly, you know, what kind of style does the family like. There's no point buying lots of pink frilly things if they're not really a, you know, they're not a pink baby. They might be more of a yellow jungle type baby, a bit more of a funky style. So yeah, love it. I could talk all day about baby hampers.
I assume clients can just say to you, I've got a budget, and I'm sure you could do a hamper for £100 or £1,000.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've just done one from Monsoon, which is obviously a lot more expensive than Marks and Spencer. You could get your stuff from Harrods. Sometimes you buy pre-ordered hampers, which work out a lot more expensive, and you don't get much in them. But it does depend on what people want. So yes, I only need to know really, obviously, the name of the child, the age, the budget, probably 4 or 5 details, and that's usually enough for me to go on, really.
Yeah, and like we said before, when you're sort of saying about private PAs, think about what you like to do and go and do it, and you can make money from it. And it may seem like a simple thing, but even I can imagine now, in the next 5 years, I could easily order 50 baby hampers from you, because I think of all the people, I'm at the age now where everyone's having babies, you know what I mean? And also, absolutely, the amount of pregnant people I know right now, this is a good little thing for you to be doing for next year.
Yeah, there's lots of lockdown babies coming about. Yeah, yeah, agree.
Divorces or pregnancies. But yeah, exactly, like sort of going back to like thinking of what you do. And sometimes when you think, like, you know, you don't, you were saying like there are some people out there that are thriving from the pandemic, which they are. God, if you made and sold face masks, you're laughing your head off, aren't you? Or if you're a recruitment agency that supplies nurses, but you as a job seeker, you don't need to sit there and try and figure that out and know who to approach, because by being visible online and vocal online, people will see you. So
absolutely,
you
know, yeah.
And so rather than having to like think to yourself, right, I need to send off 20 applications today, you could do an introductory video about yourself and you could post it online. You could have 100,000 people view that. Now, you can never email 100,000 people. So just think about the reach you have.
Yes,
and
yes,
people
could absolutely
come to you, and someone that you would never even thought of contacting, and they could be looking for your services. And so if you put yourself out there in a professional manner, let people come to you. And that surely, as a job hunter, is just easier. Than sending off 1,000 applications that you're just going to get lost in.
Yeah, absolutely. Use the internet for what it's there for. I mean, LinkedIn is free as well. Yeah. So you really don't have to move from your sofa, effectively. Yeah. I mean, I'm in my eldest bedroom right now. You know, I'm still able to do the podcast. I'm still able to work. Don't worry too much about your background, you know, and don't worry too much about what you look like. I mean, people can be very vain, and everyone looks different. It's not about that. Just do it. Yeah, don't
procrastinate. And also, it's only you that care about what you look like and new thing. I'm over it now, but I know that I sound like a man. Like, I just know I sound like a man. And when I hear myself on voicemails and stuff, like, I'm like, how did your voice ever get so deep? But you, oh my God, who cares? It's only you that care. Nobody else has ever commented to me in my 35 years of my life and said, you look really weird in the video. Like, no, it's just like, it doesn't like it. So get over yourself.
Yeah, and if someone does happen to say something like that,
yeah,
you know, I mean, really, why would anyone say, you know, it's completely ignore it. Yeah, yeah. One person in maybe 100 that have got far too much time on their hands, so completely disregard it.
So if we're being honest, so we're going to talk about things on now, but if we're being honest about what you do and stuff, there must be days where, you know, you're working at home, on your own, there must be days we feel unmotivated and can't be bothered when it comes to finding Absolutely. New clients and stuff and putting yourself out there. So, but let's be realistic as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first lockdown hit me like a ton of bricks because I was focusing just mainly on one client, although I had three at the time. One of them was occupying most of my hours, and she did reduce quite significantly early on in the lockdown, and it hit me financially hard, as well as personally, actually, because I got quite complacent. I was really happy all last year, you know, working, balancing the family, and it was all going really well. Obviously, no one ever really envisaged what was around the corner. So April, May through to July were very hard months for me personally, because, you know, half of me was saying, you know, actually, this isn't working. This actually isn't working. The proof is not, you know, it's just not there. I'm not earning hardly anything. You know, I feel like my reach has really fallen on LinkedIn and I'm not getting responses. But something in the back of my mind was just saying, keep going.
Yeah.
And it was a very small something, but I just kept talking on LinkedIn. I can't even remember what about specifically, but I just kept going. I just kept having, I mean, I remember having a couple of Zoom calls with some private PAs actually and helping them out. I think one was taking a new course to become a bookkeeper and they wanted to run something by me. And I was thinking, well, this is a bit strange, but I just kept doing it. I just kept having Zooms with people. People that even you'd think, oh, I'm not quite sure what connection I'd have. I just kept having the Zooms. I just kept talking to other people, just about listening to about how are other people being affected. And it's funny because nearly half of those people that I've had the Zooms with, I've now contacted for various reasons. So all the relationships that I've made have all actually been worth it looking back. And because of all the content and just the visibility that I kept up over the summer, I gained my other main client in August this year. And since then, I've now got 5 overall. And I've got 2, so 7 overall, hopefully by the end of November. And 2 of those are going over to, I've got 2 associates. So an incredible peak from what my business was like back in March, but it's down to consistency. But yeah, sure, there's quite often I'll wake up and think, really? You know, I'm a massive driver, like you being the MD, you're the driver, you're the motivator, but I look back and think, well, I could be employed again, and all of a sudden I shake it off. So it's remembering, going back to your why, you know, why are you doing this? And it does really ground me. And I feel lucky, because although it's carnage with children and, you know, not enough devices and everything, I wouldn't want to be employed again, you know, because I'm still managing it. You know, I admit to my clients that I'm real, I'm me, I've got family, but I still manage to meet the deadlines. I mean, as I said to you earlier, I had a client who messaged me quite late last night wanting to arrange a grazing box for her other half that's leaving his work Thursday. So with less than 48 hours to go, because of the contacts I've made, I've managed to arrange it and it's being delivered on Thursday. She can't believe it that I've managed to pull it out of the air, but it's because I've been networking and grazing and just spending, you know, 5-10 minutes every day on Instagram and just linking with those people that are kind of in my outer circle, and just built my network that way. So yeah
exactly. It's like, it's because you've got this, I think it's important to create this outer circle and then like lean on them, use them when you need to. Like, you don't have to try and figure it out yourself. And I think especially with the private sector, there's definitely a community that should be built, and we're actually hot off the press about to build a community for all of our sort of senior private household members, because it'd be nice for them to have a place to go when their principal says to them, I need X, Y, Z, and they're stressing out. And it's a very isolating place, often working with ultra high net worths. It'd be nice for them to have an outlet to go to. Absolutely. That's got, you know, 200 other house managers on this group. They just put a message out there, someone replies, done. Let's start using each other. Let's start working together and, you know, sharing ideas and, you know.
Really good idea, because, you know, that's using that recommendations, which ultimately the network and the sector that we work in is based on. Mm. You know, rarely do any of my clients just go to Google and expecting, you know, a butler or whatever it might be. Yeah. They would never just go cold. It would always be recommended.
Yeah.
To have a community like that, A, alleviates the stress from house managers, and B, it gets the service done quicker.
Yeah, it's just a win-win. Everyone gets that. It's done quicker and easier. And it's nice to have people, similar-minded people, doing the same job as you. Even if you just have a little rant to.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we all work in a really, really sensitive, high-end, discreet. Discretion is paramount with what we do. So we can't just talk to our husbands or whatever. And although we couldn't ever mention names or details, to talk to other people that understand that is really important.
Yeah, for sure. So I suppose talking about getting things, needing to do things for principals, we'll sort of round up now with a couple of sort of features that we often do anyway. You work in a slightly different way, but you still work with ultra high net worths. Do you still get bizarre requests? Have you ever had, what's the most bizarre thing you've been asked to do or that you've seen whilst working with ultra high net worths?
Yes, I definitely get bizarre requests. So very recently, due to the time of year, a lady I work with is a COO. Because Christmas parties aren't happening this year, she's buying all of her staff members a turkey. So I haven't got to go and physically catch them though, because that would probably be a bit over and above what I would agree to do. And plus they're really massive animals and quite scary. Yeah. But anyway, so I've had to source and find a turkey farm that have got about 650 turkeys. So I have managed to do it. And then I've been working with a graphic designer at her firm to sort out the poster that's gone up and to let staff know that's what's happening. And then they're going to have like a raffle system so that the turkey farm are actually going to be delivering about 2/3 of them to the head office. And then the other 150 are people that work out on site will go to the turkey farm and collect them. So we'll have like a raffle ticket so the staff member can take up, give the raffle ticket in, then they'll get their turkey. So, you know, I know a lot about turkeys now all of a sudden. So, yes, so that was one of my bizarre requests. And also I've sourced in October personalised rose bushes. So for people that have passed, rather than sending just flowers, my client wanted something that they could perhaps have in their garden and create a bit more of a memorial. I found a couple of businesses that actually have, rather than just their Latin name, they've personalised them. So if you've got someone who you've lost, Barbara or someone, I can find a rose bush called Barbara now. And that's a really nice touch, actually. Yeah. So it comes with a little card, and it's something that you can plant and have in your garden and send on as a gift. So yes, I definitely do get strange requests. Yeah. And you can never, ever see them coming. But it's another reason I love doing what I do, because I could never foresee that in my network. But, you know, trying to find a turkey farm was relatively easy, but also to try and make sure that those turkeys are going to be earmarked for us was a bit of a tricky job. But yeah,
The thing, because I would have thought all the turkey farmers have allocated. Like, I'd have thought that all the orders would be in, you know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so this was probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago that I did start doing this. But again, with COVID and no Christmas parties happening or anything like that, a massive, massive increase for them. So yeah, finding someone with the turkeys left that haven't been earmarked again was a bit of a job. But I can be a good actress and sweet talk when I need to. So it definitely worked.
I can't decide whether a turkey is a genius Christmas present for your staff or absolutely barking mad.
It's a bit bizarre. I mean, to go out and just pick up a turkey and then carry it back to your calves, you know, 7-8 kilos is Yeah, somewhere in the middle, I think. I mean, it's about £55 a go.
So well, it's a very good like, because we often don't have turkey for Christmas. Like, my husband's a bit of a cook. And, like, he often gets, like, a bird and a bird and a bird. Or he'll do, like, something different or a goose for Christmas. And
yeah, so,
like,
yeah.
But I suppose if you have turkey, you can give it, wow. Yeah.
Like, yeah, or you could cook it and put it into curries throughout the year.
I think I like it as an idea. I think it's a good idea. I think it's quite a cool gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very generous. But she, there were vegetarian options as well for obvious reasons. Yeah. But no. Yep.
650 turkeys. There we are. Right. Then, so just a few quick fire questions to finish up with then, and then I will let you get on with your day and go find your children. What's your split on male and female clients that you have? Principals? Are they either or?
I specify that I tend to work with women. Just because it was just part of my niche. I wanted to really, really niche down. I think if you do run your own business, you really niching down is imperative, and it actually makes you more popular. But I don't refuse male clients. If they do approach me or if I'm recommended, I would work with a male. So it's not something I, you know, definitely don't do. I don't have any male clients at the moment. I did have someone recommended to me that's kind of in the pipeline, just taking a bit of a time, but yeah, primarily I do tend to work with women.
Yeah. Do you prefer managing someone's business affairs or personal affairs?
Personal.
I do.
Just personal preference, because I love to be really knee deep. I love to get to know their character, what they like, and I love to take that off their shoulders, so that, I mean, the only person that's going to be as good as them in their business is them. Because it, you know, they've either set up their business for a reason and they've done it for however long, and to try and take someone's work away from their employed aspect can be done, but it's a bit tricky. So to help with the personal aspect, it's giving them that alleviation, like the baby hampers, that kind of thing. It's relatively easy for them to delegate as well. There's not so much explanation involved, so it's faster for them, so that it takes less time. And I just enjoy it more.
Yeah, and probably more varied. And to be fair, they probably have support within their business elsewhere anyway, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, three of my clients have got their own. One's a director of a law firm. The other one's a COO. They've both got support within the law, within their firms. And there is an overlap between what I do in the business and personal, but it's more diary management, that kind of thing, or maybe document amendments, proofreading, that kind of thing.
Yeah, fair. What do you find the most difficult thing working as a VA?
Technology sometimes, because it doesn't always work. And I'm not a massive fan of technology, to be quite open and honest. At the moment, obviously, we're heavily relying on it, and I don't like to be reliant on something. I've got a journal for each of my clients, and I use a pen. I don't use a CRM. I just use a journal for each of my clients. I use Todoist, which is the online sort of electronic post-it note system. But I don't like the fact that we have to rely on technology, because when it's broken and doesn't work, people are pretty much redundant. So I try and have phone calls. I don't always have Zooms. If the client wants a Zoom, that's obviously fine. But I try and just stick to the phone, pen and paper, because keeping things simple usually means that things will just work.
And it's just what suits you. I still like a pen and paper to-do list, even though it would be so much easier electronically, because all I'm doing is often just copying the same bloody to-do list for tomorrow that I haven't got around to doing. But yeah, I still like it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's easy. And I think you've got that satisfaction of actually physically ticking it off. I do a to-do list every single evening before I go to bed, so that when I get up, it's there. I break it down into each client. And I've done that since I've run my business, and it works really well.
What's the most commonly asked thing for you to do? What's the most common duty that's given to you?
Diary management, I would say. And teaching clients not to book themselves back to back, because it's such a natural kind of, I don't know, thing for them, that if they see a gap in their diary, they think, oh, I'm free. But not necessarily, because if you come off a Zoom, like, I've got a call after you, but I've got a 15-minute window between the two, because my next call is completely different. to what I'm talking to you about. So I'll need to just make some notes about my next one and just kind of get my head out of talking about myself and what we're talking about and then into what I'm going to be talking about. So teaching them habits and ways where just because you see a gap in your diary doesn't mean you're free. So I've got a traffic light system with their emails. So their emails, you know, quite often they've got thousands in their inbox. Rather than scroll and look for something, if you need to deal with it within 24 hours, it should be red. Mm. If you need to deal with it within that week, it should be yellow. Anything within a couple of weeks can be green. And then when you go back into your inbox, you're just looking for the red one, or you're just looking for the green one, or whatever, you know. Mm. And it makes things a bit quicker. And then once you've dealt with it, file it or delete it. Don't leave it in there. So it's things like that people ask me to get involved with quite.
I suppose what they should do in that instance is, if it's an immediate, do red. If it's that week, do orange. Otherwise, delete. Because when are they ever going to get around to doing the green things, really? Because they're going to always have red and orange things, aren't they?
Yeah, and often the green things tend to be personal as well.
They should be handled.
Exactly. So again, if it's personal, get into the habit of just forwarding it on to me. So again, it's just new habits, like most things.
You might not want to tell me this, but I suppose if it's other people that are thinking about doing something similar, do you charge your clients on a retained basis, so a set figure every month, or do they pay for the hours that you work?
When I first started out, it was by the hour, because I didn't know any better and that was just the way I thought it would work. A lot of VAs still do that. I'd prefer not to work like that, just because the type of client that I work with can be very demanding. So if I had four clients all not knowing how much they were going to need me, then I can't earmark any time in my diary going forward. And if everyone needed me at one point, you know, there's only one of me if they wanted me, as opposed to one of my team members. So I work on a retainer primarily, and then on a Zoom or a call to begin with, I work out roughly how many hours we'll do going forward. You can't always accurately guess, but I've usually got quite a good idea when they tell me what they need doing. And then we'll just tweak it over the next 2 or 3 months going forward. And then we'll look back and say, you know, this is how many have you used. I'll look at their diary and see what they've got coming up. And usually they kind of leave it to me. But most clients just pay me a retainer of a flat fee every month, because I offer like a 24/7 Mary Poppins, as it were, package. And then they can contact me 24/7, literally day and night. And then it's up to me to prioritise and meet deadlines. And then it's just a flat fee every single month. We don't have to worry about the hours, etc. And that works really well, because then you're, for them, it's a lot more seamless, because those conversations don't need to happen. As well, they know things are going to get done. It's a flat fee, and sometimes they'll set up a direct debit.
Yeah, it's the best way, I think, because A, you can manage yourself and your business. Mm. And also, if you're doing it for the hours, like, you don't want to be doing things as quickly as possible, so you charge them less, because that's a rush service. But equally, you don't want them to be judging the fact that you spent 4 hours on something that could have been, like, so it's just all, it's, yeah.
Absolutely, you know, and when you're arranging things, you know, if you're waiting on to hear from someone else, you know, you're forever clocking on and off for the timing system, whereas on a flat fee, you're just getting it done, you know. Yeah. And it's a different service, but it depends on the client's budget, it depends on what the client wants done.
Yeah, fair. And then finally, what do you love most about it? Why are you doing, what's your why?
My why is, I love to support women that are just absolutely frantic, that are just pulled in so many different directions. I mean, obviously at the moment, I'm one of those women, but which is ironic, but women that have got, you know, more than one business, that have got, you know, women maybe in children, maybe in private school, they've got a husband that they might see quickly for a cup of tea in the morning and maybe not for again for, you know, a couple of days, or it's giving them back that me time. It's being able to siphon out in their day or their week time for themselves, and just giving them back some sort of routine, and for them to kind of find themselves again. It's just taking away those bits and pieces that just stress them out. Mm. And that's why I love it, because it's seeing that satisfaction and getting that feedback. That was my why I set up my business. And then number two would be the fact that it fits around my family, other than in COVID. Mm. Although it is fitting around COVID, because I am still working. It's just a bit of a Just bit of an interesting time. Yeah, absolutely. But I am still working. I'm very busy. You know, the kids are still fed. They're dressed. You know, all boxes are ticked.
Exactly. Are they alive? Are they eating? Brilliant. Yeah. Well, look, that brings it to a really lovely natural end. So thank you so much for your time today. I think this has been a really, really useful one. And this is how I want to structure them moving forward. I want to be talking about stuff that are that is of use to other people, that people can implement in their own lives to better themselves and what they're doing. So I hope that everyone's enjoyed the episode. As I say every single week, if you want to come and be a guest, please drop me an email at philippa@silverswanrecruitment.com. Please come and rate and subscribe to the podcast so you're told each week when it's on. And then if we can help you with your job hunt or help you with your recruitment, please visit Silver Swan. So that's a wrap, and I'll speak to you all next week. Thanks, everybody.